Hello and welcome to Songs for the Struggling Artist, the blog cast. This is episode 382. Happy New Year to you. If you are listening to this on its day of release, you will find that it is also January 1st, 2024 for you. If you're listening to it later, I wish you a retroactive Happy New Year. A welcome in either case. I don't think you could listen to it before January 1st, because I am, in fact, recording it on January 1st. If you're a time traveler, do let me know. I have a lot of things I would like to do, just in case you're willing to bring me with you. I mean, maybe? Fingers crossed? Anyway, happy 2024 to everyone. Today's blog is about grant info sessions, which I know is probably only meaningful to a very small selection of my readers slash listeners, but I will make a case for it. It's a little inside view of what it's like to try and get funding as an artist, especially I feel like there are people who are always like, oh, why don't you get a grant for that? And then you try to explain like what that process actually is. And, you know, it is hard to explain. This will give you an inside view on what it's like to get an arts grant in New York City in the United States of America. So it might be interesting for that point. And also, I think, you know, this speaks to a kind of unnecessary bureaucratic step for this particular thing. But I imagine many of you are compelled to deal with unnecessary bureaucratic steps for your lives. So maybe it will offer up some, I don't know, other ways of doing things that you could take to your community? I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, here it is. It is called Welcome to My Grant Info Session. There are about 30 artists in the classroom that is not designed for a lecture, but is being used for one anyway. We are required to attend this information session in order to be eligible for our local arts funding. It is a two-hour PowerPoint presentation about how to fill out the grant form. About an hour into it, the facilitator asked, "Are we having fun?" And the silence was deafening. The facilitator is very personable, and he's working so hard to make this content less deadly than it is. But telling 30 artists how to fill in forms for grants, mostly between $1,000 and $5,000, is not scintillating presentation material. I've been sitting in presentations like this for over 20 years now, and every single one of them is like this. Or worse. They are a colossal waste of artists' time, no matter which borough or organization is sponsoring them. Whether it's the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council, or the Northern Manhattan Arts Alliance, Queens Council on the Arts, or the Brooklyn Arts Council, they all require that artists sit pliantly in uncomfortable chairs for 2 hours to hear how to fill out a form. Every time it makes me furious and is a major reason for my not applying for funding as often as I should. The grants themselves are onerous, but the patronizing info sessions are somehow worse. Each time I go to one, I find there's a new thing that pisses me off. At the Northern Manhattan Arts Alliance one a while ago, I was struck by how infuriating it is that none of these places would fund your whole project. This time, I found myself furious about the info session itself. Here we were, 30 artists, none of whom knew each other, and all we did was stare at a screen and parrot back facts we were given. My only engagement with my fellow artists was in the elevator on the way up and down the hall to the elevator on the way back. Most artists in this city are pretty isolated. Now, more than ever. Before I went to this event, I was actually a little excited to get to be in a room full of artists again. That is, until I realized there would be no opportunity to engage with any of them. I knew what these things were like, I've been to enough of them, but I still, somehow, hoped for a little community atmosphere. My sense about these things is that everyone does them this way because everyone does them this way. That is, Brooklyn Council on the Arts does their info sessions this way because LMCC does theirs this way. And LMCC probably does them this way because NISCA does them this way, and so on and so on. Our guy last night told us he was telling us this stuff because he didn't want us leaving money on the table. That is, he didn't want us to lose the grant because of dumb or avoidable mistakes. I appreciate that. I would love to know all the available tips and tricks for winning over a grant committee, but I'm just not sure sitting in front of a PowerPoint presentation for 2 hours is the best way to receive those tips. And the investment is out of balance with the reward. These grant applications take a lot of time to fill out. They require a lot of careful consideration, finessing, and math. If I applied for the individual artist grant, the most I could get would be $2,500. If I hired a grant writer to get me this one, the funds would basically just pay the grant writer. A fellow theater maker said recently that he was working on 2 grants, one for his job, that was for $2 million, and another for his art, that was for $5,000. And he reported that they took the same amount of time. When I first started applying for grants, we were told that it basically worked like a scaffold, that we'd do a lot of work for a $500 grant, which would help us get progressively bigger grants. Well, friends, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and the largest amount of official grant money I've received were 2 $3,000 grants. 10 years ago. The growth model just doesn't reflect the way artists and arts organizations work. Our budgets don't just automatically grow over the years. We don't graduate from city funding to state funding to federal funding as the years go by. This is a fantasy. Maybe it happens for an organization or two, but most of us don't grow like that. Most arts organizations I know continue to make their work in fits and spurts with not enough money and the occasional pat on the back. Grant makers seem to think there are only 2 ways to be an organization: grow into an institution or die. They know most arts companies don't make it to the 5-year mark. That part is true. But they assume everyone who makes it past 5 years does it by growing, by becoming an institution. That's just not how it works for a lot of us. You don't become eligible for more funding the longer you exist. You become eligible for more funding by getting more funding. The grants my company can apply for are for arts organizations with budgets under $100,000 or $250,000. Once you have more than that, then you can apply directly to the bigger funds. But how you're supposed to do that $5,000 at a time, I do not know. There is no reward for making tiny, scrappy shows for over 20 years. No one gives you an award for this, which is fine. I'm not after any awards. What I would like, though, is not to have to endure the same humiliating, infantilizing speeches about following directions every time I try to raise a couple of grand from a local arts council. As a person who has sat in so many of these info sessions over the years, I would like to offer a short presentation about how to give these presentations. Number 1, don't. Skip it. Offer a workshop for the people who want or need one, and let the rest of us just fill out your forms. Number 2, you have things you want to make sure the people applying know? Have us send you an intent to apply email and then send us a daily or weekly hot tip. If we need them, we'll read them. I signed up for this one podcast network, and when I did, they gave me an option to receive their daily podcast tips for a few weeks. You know what? I've been podcasting for a while. I can be just as jaded in that field as I am in theater, and I read them. I even took a few on board. You can get information to people without boring them to pieces. Number three, if you absolutely have to get us together to tell us things, please make it a party instead. Do like they do at my college alumni parties. Let everyone mingle for an hour and a half with wine and cheese, then ding your glasses, make us listen to a series of 10-minute speeches, and then let us talk to each other some more. Call it a grant info session if you must, but you'll do a lot more for the arts in your local area if you help bring artists together. I'd like to suggest you do it the way IndieSpace does their big give. Fill out a very short form with no essays or nothing. Those forms enter us in a lottery. To get the money, we go to a party where we eat and drink and hang out with our fellow artists, and when we don't win the lottery, it is fine. Because we got to have some good conversation. Number four, let's talk about community engagement for a second. All of these grants ask artists to talk about how their work will benefit the community. Artists are charged to make contacts in the community, to get community leaders involved in their work, and then explain how their project will benefit people in that community. Some artists are well positioned to do just that, and they are usually the ones who receive this kind of grant. But a lot of artists are not great at this. They want to be. They aspire to get more people involved and to make a difference, but this is a special skill that is not an automatic accompaniment to art making. I'm actually pretty good at engaging with the community given the opportunity. Working in senior centers, working in schools, in public libraries, in public parks and spaces. I have done all of these things, but I still would not like to depend on any of these things for my art making. It's quite difficult to make inroads outside of one's own circles. People leave these sorts of positions often. Maintaining this sort of network can be a full-time job. Depending on artists to do this is a little bit bananas. It often leads to mediocre art as well. I'm not saying community-engaged work can't be good. I love it. It's some of my favorite stuff I've seen. But if our arts councils are only funding people who know how to go out and busket with particular communities, they're not funding the arts so much as social services with an artistic component. You want artists to make work with a community spirit? Introduce us to the community. Let these relationships form more organically. Let's say I wanted to make some shows with refugees. If I did it the way the funding models suggest, I should come up with a project, budget it out, go find some refugee organizations, and make it happen. But what if my local arts council brought artists together with community leaders? Maybe I'd meet someone who has been hungry for someone to make some theater with the refugees in their organization. Then we design a program together instead of a weird top-down, I bring the arts to you model. Or maybe at this community engagement event, I meet someone doing something I'd never have thought of, and we find a whole new way of making work together. What I'm trying to say is that arts councils could do a much more active job of creating community engagement instead of placing that responsibility on the shoulders of artists. I love engaging with communities, truly. But I absolutely loathe talking about it on grant applications. It feels like I'm using whatever vulnerable population I'm working with to get paid. It feels mercenary and disrespectful of the people I play to and for. Anyway, I'm veering into what these applications should be like now, and I for sure have thoughts about that too. Lottery. They should be a lottery. But I came here to talk about grant info sessions. I think they're meant to be a teaching tool. I think they're meant to be instructive. After a couple of decades in arts teaching, I can tell you that these info sessions could use some pedagogical improvement. I'm pretty sure the science is in on sitting and listening for 2 hours straight, and it is not the way to get people to learn something. Recent science suggests humans need to get up and move around every half hour, at least. But the thing is, I don't think that the goal of these info sessions is actually instruction. I think it's box ticking. It's numbers collecting. It's proving to the funders higher up the food chain that you can get numbers. And congratulations, you have found a population with a great deal of willingness to sit around a room for the chance to get a pretty minimal sum of money. And if you think artists don't see that this is how it is, you're underestimating us. Check in and find out. Are we having fun yet? Listening to a 2-hour PowerPoint presentation that many of us have been hearing a variation of for the last 20 years? You think you can make that fun? That silence tells you everything. Oh, golly, I guess I had something to say about grant info sessions. Oh my God. I did, in fact, submit this grant, the one I guess there were two, actually, that I submitted from this particular info session. You know, I think the odds of my getting them are slim, very slim, as they usually are. But I feel better having sort of expressed my rage about this particular requirement. I think if you consistently apply to these things, like if you apply every year, you don't have to keep going to the info sessions. But I almost never am in that position. I think maybe once it happened to me and I was like, oh, phew, I got to dodge the info session since I went last year. But I don't always make projects that are grant-friendly. Some of them are very grant-friendly, but not all of them. Not all of them. And most of them, like, are looking for a particular geographical connection. And I don't always have that. So, more info sessions. I don't know how many of these I've gone to over the years. Several multiple times. There's two arts councils in Manhattan, so I've been to both of those. Brooklyn, Queens. I haven't done any Bronx arts info sessions. But I don't think I could convincingly make a case for making Bronx-centered work. Certainly not Staten Island. Anyway, it's a lot. It's been, you know. I wonder if I should start ranking them. No, I should not. That would really get me in trouble. Anyway, we'll see if those come through. Probably not. What song do I have for you today? Well, it's been holidays and stuff, so I had all kinds of like thoughts of doing a song either like about a lottery or a song about an information, and I have like a whole list. I've been listening to them, but none of them really did the job, and I did not have time to like really learn them, what with all the traveling and busy holiday times and whatnot. So I looked to see if there were maybe a song that I could just pull out quickly that I either already had recorded or one I already know so I don't have to learn it. And I discovered that there's a song that I could not believe I had never done before on the podcast. Like I searched multiple times to be like, really? Never? Never before? Is this real? And it is. I have never recorded Thin Line for the podcast. Could have sworn I had. Absolutely didn't. But I think the reason that I was so convinced I must have done it is because it's a song I play a lot for myself. Like, it's a song that if I feel like, I really feel like, you know, being expressive in some way or singing through some stuff, it's a go-to song for me. So I just assumed that I would have done it here on the podcast before, and I have not, it turns out. So it's Thin Line It's a song I know because the Indigo Girls recorded it for their 1200 Curfews album. And it's by a guy called Gerard McHugh. So it's not an Indigo Girls song, actually. It's not by Amy Ray or Emily Saliers or both. It is by Gerard McHugh. But they covered it on this live album of theirs. And I love it. So I'm going to play that for you in just a moment, shockingly, for the first time. It has very little to do with this grant info session, although maybe you, the listener, can make a connection that I have failed to make. But in any case, a song to start the year off right, or at least to start the year. So I'm going to play that for you shortly. Meanwhile, thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, please tell someone about it. Like, review, subscribe. Tell someone in person. Why not? You can open their podcast app and just subscribe them. Just like a sneak subscription. I think people who don't already listen to podcasts would not be susceptible to the stealth podcast subscription, but it would be fun. Also, if you'd like to support this podcast, that would be amazing. You can do that on Patreon, patreon.com/EmilyRDavis, or Ko-fi, or PayPal. You could also subscribe on Substack, and you can do that with a paid subscription if you would like. And if you have another way you like to support artists, let me know, and I'll get on that platform. Thank you for any support you can offer, even if it's just a, hey, I'm listening to the podcast and I like it. That's also an incredible support, because sometimes, in fact, most of the time, I don't know when people are listening. So I do always really appreciate a shout out. So thank you. And mostly just thank you for listening. And it's great to have your ears on this situation. And I will now offer you Thin Line.
Thought the time was past when I could find beauty in the words. I set the stage and the scenery, rehearsing every word. Yeah, yeah, but when I tried to make it more, well, it was always less. And it's a thin line between pleasing yourself and pleasing somebody else. Oh yeah, oh yeah, all right. With my confidence on fire, I set to fixing up my separation of desire. Just let me deeper down the hole, yeah. But when I tried to make it more, well, it was always less. And it's a thin line between pleasing yourself and pleasing somebody else. Hoping to God that I